This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Marvelous, amazing, gorgeous, 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 marv
Welcome back to the marvelous Mrs. Maisel Goy season 3 premiere.
I'm
Kevin.
I'm Alice.
Yeah, and we're as good as ever. We're back on our BS.
You know us, back on our BS. A king and a kitty. Just a king and a kitty.
One king, one kitty. And maybe a little guest kitten, too.
And maybe a little growly guest.
Goo goo to the gaga.
She's bad.
Hey. It's our first of 2 episodes today.
And we're glad to be back. I know you guys were like, are they going to do it? And then a couple people tweeted at us. Way less than I thought.
More than a couple. There was at least 6.
Well, y'all didn't tag me. And
they did tag you.
What's
on
wrong
some
with my
other
Twitter?
Stuff.
I can't get any notifications. So
Mom.
I'm very happy because I mean, you guys, the fans, understand that,
the
like.
I like listeners more than fans. You know what I mean? As a term?
A lot of our fans aren't listeners.
A lot of my fans.
Yeah. So I had to push Kevin, obviously, to do this. He wasn't really going to do it.
That's
and I was
not
like, we
at
have
all
to,
true.
I can show you the fucking receipts.
Okay.
I have the text threads to prove it.
I thought you were going to be in Canada for the rest of my life, and I didn't know if we could make it happen. There were scheduling concerns.
I was going to be in Canada for the rest of your life.
Essentially. You've been in Canada so much for as long as I've known you.
That's true.
A good amount. More than most non-Canadian people.
I go to Canada quite often, eh?
There's work up there.
There's work up there in the north.
And there's work here.
Gotta
to
go
do.
Up to. What if that's what actors did? They just went up north to find work.
Yeah, just like
they
logging
just go
or something.
Up there.
Oh sure, I'd be down for that.
Oh sure.
But it's Marvelous Mrs. Maisel Goy season 3. Season 3 of any show is like that's when you're like you reflect on it and you're like, do I like this show?
Is that when you do that?
Because season sometimes 1, it's like this is new, this is okay. Fun. We're on our first dates.
I can't tell what smells. I bet it's me. Okay, go
it's
ahead.
I
guarantee it's me.
I'm a showered little clean boy.
Something I'm wearing was not washed the last time.
Well, it doesn't matter because I like you the way you are.
Thank you.
Smells and all.
Thank you.
I think we need to introduce our guest real quick. We got an episode to talk about, the season 3 premiere. We also have an event to talk about leading up to the season 3 premiere. So let's go ahead and introduce our special guest right now. Friends, folks. I'm saying that instead of ladies and gentlemen now because it's more inclusive.
More gender neutral.
Yes. Friends and folks, she is a comedian. She's a writer. She's a little meme lord. She's one of my favorite people in the world and a great travel buddy.
An edge
the
lord.
Susie to my Midge. A bit of an edge lord.
Yeah.
It's Tess Gattuso.
You did it. You pronounced my last name.
Thank you for calling me an edge lord. Like I requested.
Real edge lord. Well,
there
it's also the gold gilded edgelord nameplate necklace you're wearing.
Yeah, of course. Sorry.
It's beautiful.
Oh, I forgot I had that
How
on.
It shines.
Oh, how it shines.
Is this Deadpool 3 that we're in right now? Because I'm feeling pretty edgy in the room right now.
It's really edgy.
I feel like you two are both a little more edgy than I am, though.
I agree. You have a podcast called Good Christian Fun.
That's right.
So that's already
not edgy.
You're the
not
most
edgy.
Wholesome person I know.
Is that true?
You're one of the most wholesome people.
And you
I know.
Own it. That, so, like, be proud.
I think that's
also,
kind.
It is kind, but also, I know a lot of wholesome people that are kind of not fun to be around. Okay. You know what I mean? They're like, they're like, they're not bad to be around, but they're not like, I can't wait to hang out with this person.
They're not adaptable, maybe. Oh, but you're fun.
And you're also open. So when you have non-wholesome content coming your way, you're like, I will receive it versus like, I want to push that away.
Rare.
Like, stay positive. It's good.
Rare.
Thank you,
Kevin. And that's rare. And ladies.
Wow.
That's rare.
And ladies.
And ladies, if you're a lady and you're listening to this, that's rare.
Okay.
Unfortunately.
DMs are open. Tess, thank you so much for joining us on the show.
I mean, it makes sense because of that experience we had.
The experience we had. Well, I don't know if we can talk about that experience, but let's talk about our experience in Vegas.
Oh my God. What happened in Vegas? It's supposed to stay in Vegas.
We need to have some.
It's not going
to
stay.
First of all,
it's not.
Supposed to stay in Vegas.
It's fully staying out. Mm-hmm. Keep talking, Tess.
Hey, what's up?
There
okay, are we good?
There's your gorgeous voice again.
Yeah.
You do have, I think, low-key, I'm not saying this on mic for mic's sake. Uh-huh. You have a gorgeous speaking voice I enjoy listening to. It's at a register that I like.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
It cuts glass.
I learned I have a taste for voices. I have like a, you know, people have a type where they're like people or whatever people. I'm like, I like a low registered girl, like a Florence Pugh voice type. I'm like, okay,
yes.
We can rock
Florence
and roll.
Florence Pugh's great.
With this.
Midsommar.
So let me describe the Vegas situation that you might have peeped on social media, people that follow me or the Maisel TV account. Mm-hmm. I get a DM like beginning of December. Hey, you've been selected to go on. And Alice got the same DM too. She was unavailable because she was working at the time. Hey, you've been selected to like go on a trip to Vegas for like a fan experience, blah, 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 blah. It looked scammy, but it was from the verified Maisel account. You and a plus one will put you up the Cosmopolitan. You'll see a show, blah, blah, blah. It'll be like a little semi-private plane, kind of not. So my first choice was Alice, obviously, but she was busy. Mm-hmm. And then I asked Tess if she could accompany me.
And
on
I was
this...
like, hell yes. What?
It was, but I would describe the experience as like the most fun with you. And so good for our friendship together. Mm-hmm. Also complicated because I think it does embody a lot of like the issues I have now at this point in my life and looking at media, capitalist structures and stuff, just being embedded in the center of it. Because basically the setup was, it was us and a bunch of like micro retro fashion influencer.
It was like influencers, women dressed like characters from the show.
Yeah.
And they... Man, they really pulled it off. Must have taken time and effort. And I had no idea. I was like the only girl. I think I was, I'm not the only girl, but the only girl in like pants and a jacket.
Well, there
and
were
I was
two
like,
other
Oof.
Girls that were like not dressed as if they were Midge. But it was, you were in the minority for sure. and so it was like, because I thought it might be like other media people. It might be like news outlets or like vultures. But it was just like me. And then a bunch of like people, because I said, oh, how'd you choose who came on the trip? They're like, oh, whoever interacted with the Instagram account the most. So it's like people who comment a lot or people who like have little, anyway.
Hashtagged it. You know, people who are like visible fans.
Suffice to say, we wanted to make friends. We didn't make
Some
that many
Some people were
friends.
Open to it. Also, we Did anybody... didn't want to go out at night. We literally watched It's a Wild Christmas.
Yeah.
Until like 1 a.m.
Is it called It's a Wild Christmas?
Wait,
it's a Rob Lowe, Kristen Davis
Christmas
movie.
In the Wild.
Christmas in the Wild.
It's a Wild.
Rob Lowe, which we have to remember of a wild. Well, we'll get to that later in the episode.
So wait. So
yes.
there was like no listeners. These were like.
No. No, were like no one knew.
And,
come on. No. They lived in L.A. I think a lot of them were like actresses local. Probably. And some, there was a handful of people that are like pretty cool and fun to talk to and hang out with, but it was pretty much just a two-hander between me and Tess. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. They gave us a $200 room credit. They gave us $100 in chips to play with each, which we cashed out immediately after being frustrated with one slot machine.
Well, we tried one machine. You didn't know what you were doing, and I was just like,
no,
I don't
like
watch
how
this.
You bet and like, do you have gambling stuff in your past?
I've done blackjack.
Okay,
you know,
but this was like it was so frustrating. And
do you have gambling in your past?
I don't know.
Cool question.
Listen, I mean, there's a in your past, so
now,
it's a fair question.
I'm Terry Gross back again. Do you have gambling in your past?
It's fresh air. I'm Terry Gross.
I'm Terry.
No, gambling.
No.
Kevin Hart.
No, Kevin Hart, you have gambling in your past. Right.
So and then we went to a show that I would describe as...
That was wild.
Because they just... We were Christmas. Like, oh, is this like a premiere thing? Like, they're going to screen the first episode? Or like, is there going to be people from the show there? They were just like, there's a show.
I think they wanted to take us to a show that had themes of like the 50s, 60s.
Oh, yes.
Yes. So exactly.
Your reaction is on par. Oh, and they did.
It was
the gender
a variety
politics
show.
Were definitely
yeah.
50s and 60s.
None of the women had lines, but they like, and they were all in bikinis the whole time. But it wasn't in like an empowering burlesque way. It was in a super objectify way.
Yeah.
And there were, you know, like white men in Native American headdresses and just some weird race talk at some point because there was some not great stuff happening at the time. They wanted to acknowledge it, but it yeah. still was cringy.
And it started like an African American gentleman like sweeping the stage and like,
oh my god,
I'm just the janitor, like literally that kind of stuff. And he puts a light bulb and he's like, Vegas, there's something magic about this.
Oh my god,
like just like your worst nightmare of like what you would imagine a show like that
and
to
then,
be.
Thank God, you didn't go alone.
Yeah, oh, can you imagine? I would have. I don't know what I would have done.
Oh, my God.
I don't know what I would have done.
You would have.
No.
You would have so many friends. You would have just texted, like,
that's not.
But you have so many friends. I know. I get frustrated. Do you get frustrated with that?
That's
not. No, I'm like, yay, invite me to things with your friends.
This is not the case. You're not fresh. You have a great ecosystem of love and support in your life as well.
I have a fuck ton of support.
Hey.
No, it's amazing.
So, but the thing about Vegas, because it was my first time there. It was Tess's first time there as well.
The and only way to go is how we went.
Well, I think that's the other thing is like you had a Vegas experience. You never go to Vegas and it's like, I wonder what it's going to be like. Probably this. And then you're like, whoa. It's always like that's every time.
It's pretty much it. Yeah.
Some weird shit happens every time.
I felt trapped in a spaceship in the hotel because there was truly no reason to leave. Yeah. We went to Momofuku. We went to Milk Bar.
Mm-hmm.
There were
yeah.
like great places to eat for breakfast.
The Cosmopolitan is amazing. Did you go to the spoon, the Wicked Spoon?
No.
Damn.
The Wicked
dude.
Spoon buffet?
Yeah.
No, we didn't do that one.
You fucked up.
Well,
you
it's
fucked
possible.
Up.
I mean, we did Momofuku. We got the pork buns. They were really good.
Yeah,
delicious.
And it was so, I felt like it was very bonding for our friendship and, and love and respect for each
it
other.
It sure was.
It was great.
Yes. Went up a tier.
Went up a tier, yes.
A couple tiers,
yes,
maybe.
2020.
Well, because the thing is, like, we were both mutually okay with, like, it's 10:45, we're in Vegas. Do you want to watch this
I was
Rob
so
Lowe
grateful.
Movie on Netflix?
I always feel pressure to be super fun and, like, like, look how much I partied, da 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 da. And it's like, no, we can just eat fries and watch a bad movie.
And we did eat fries and we did
in
watch
Vegas.
A bad movie. And they had motion smoothing on the TV and I could not turn it off. I called the front desk to try to turn it off.
And I just sat by and watched.
So did you get room service?
No, we just went to the restaurant.
How did you,
well, you asked for a better remote at one point.
I did, so I could change the motion smoothie, and
it
didn't work.
Came.
But the room credit worked at all the places, like all the restaurants in the hotel, like
Incredible.
Momofuku, Milk Bar, in those places. And then that pork place, it was called like Fatty Sal's or something like that.
I don't remember.
It was a lot. They delivered champagne to the room. We had free drinks at the show.
Got some cute pics.
Oh, we had because one of my favorite Instax I've ever taken.
Why would they bring people to a party and then not have at least like a viewing?
Well, the thing is, Alice, there was a camera crew the whole time. Let's talk about the kind of like dark side of late stage Jeff Bezos era capitalism, which is
Daddy Amazon.
Daddy Amazon. Thank you, Daddy Amazon. So the whole time there was like a camera crew and a photographer like capturing all this stuff and capturing us on the plane and like taking B roll. So on some Facebook page for the show, I'm sure you can see like little, or I'm not sure, I'm very sure because you watched the video. There's like shots of us like having a little Cosmos on the plane and drinking it up. And at one point, the camera crew did say, all right, we're going to do a take. Now just say, thank you, Amazon Prime. So like dark stuff like that. Mm-hmm. We got little swag bags with water bottles,
like.
Amazon Fire Sticks in it. And it was just one of those things, being on this plane, flying out of Burbank, we didn't even have to do TSA because it was one of those Jet Suite X things,
yeah,
which is
small,
like not fully
private
but kind of private.
Yeah.
It was one of those things where it's like, well, next time I read a long read about like a warehouse worker dying on the floor and they just put tape up so they can keep going for our Christmas presents.
Right.
I'll probably think of this Amazon Fire Stick. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just like the...
A lot of anxiety happening in
yes.
Kevin's
oh, and
the
we
whole
made,
trip. And yeah. I was like, hey, you know, I have anxiety too, but we're going to get through this, Kevin.
And we were taking videos and documenting all of this.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll drop in some clips here while we're talking about it.
I have a special on Amazon right now streaming. And I have had that experience as well. So I was, you know, the other night I was actually in Vancouver sleeping.
And I just got a voice over a speaker that I didn't know was there that said, "Say thank you, Amazon Prime." And there, I woke up and there was a camera there. And so it just every once in a while it happens.
Yeah.
And I don't know when it's going to happen or where. But
that's but the price
that is not how way the promo the trip, has though. Worked. I was like, "Can I get a billboard?"
Truly, and they pulled us aside. Not a lot of warning that they wanted to interview us.
Oh yeah, we did talking heads interviews.
They included you because you did an amazing job. You like turned on your publicist. Knob or whatever you call it, and I didn't. I did a really
no.
Bad
you
job.
Were lovely. They were like, "Why? Like, who's the Susie and who's the Midge in your relationship?" And we talked about why we love.
I don't know who
other.
Those characters are.
Is Susie the,
never heard of them?
Is she the gay one?
Yeah, she's that little guy,
one?
Right?
Maybe. The little dude.
Oh, that joke.
Yeah. And but yeah, it was definitely a thing where I think zooming back from it and applying the same values to like watching the show and just like taking the show in a vacuum where it's like, again, this was not even for like production of a TV show. It was like an influencer, like brand awareness thing for a Facebook video that probably,
I guess,
right,
to like
10,000 people
morale among fans. Like, we love you guys. This is what we do for you.
But like
keep engaged.
Who cares?
I actually, you know what? I think it's guinea pig stuff. I think it's probably.
Are we the guinea pigs?
I think you're guinea pigs because I think that they know that they're doing something different in terms of being a streaming platform. They know that they have a new streaming platform that they do not need to advertise for. So what does fan engagement look like when you don't have the same like the model's broken? So I think they're trying to switch up, because I know for this is real for my Amazon special, like the promo wasn't. It was strange. It was like kind of what you're saying. Well, like I was like, why would
that's
why
just
would
such
this
a high
be
investment
is?
Of marketing though? Because
yes.
it's so
yeah.
expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's different from like Netflix is kind of old fashioned as a business now because Netflix.
Well, Netflix
like,
has been doing it longer though.
Right.
You know?
But Netflix. But I'm saying like Netflix, when they make stuff, that's what they're there for. Like Netflix makes specials, makes TV shows, makes movies. Mm-hmm. They don't do other stuff. Amazon. You can buy toilet paper on Amazon, and you buy books on Amazon,
oh, yeah.
and it's like part
and
of this whole thing.
And if you try to buy toilet paper on Netflix, I will tell you, you will be waiting a very long time.
Not if you do Prime Now, which again...
No, I'm saying on Netflix.
Oh, on Netflix.
Wait, I
you were like, hang on a second.
I didn't order it, but I know somebody who's still waiting. It was me, actually.
Oh, that first 20 minutes of Irishman felt a little bit like toilet paper to me.
Guys. Oh, okay!
Yeah. No, I like Irishman.
Some. I hated Irishman.
And I wish it was 30 minutes shorter.
Do you know what was really long?
Excuse
Scorsese's
me.
Speech the other day. I was on Variety, and it was like, they were like, Variety post something about
transcript.
This is what Scorsese says right now. And then like, I swear to God, like 3 hours later, they're like, Scorsese just said this. I'm like, is he just still talking?
They're like live tweeting his speech, so like it's like a war or something. Speaking of which. But anyway,
ooh,
it was...
Kevin, it was magical.
It was
and
magical with you.
And especially the part where, because I'm really short and I couldn't get in some of the footage. Remember when you like tried to lift me up in the back so
yes.
that they could see my
well,
face?
Well, because the thing
incredible.
Is...
They didn't include that in the video.
The whole thing they said is like, we're not allowed to film in the Cosmos, so... just take video on your iPhone and stuff and send it to us and we'll put in the piece.
Too. Somebody
but,
was fired.
But
about
all
that.
Of the all of our video was us like bemoaning
so we'll
our complicity.
About politics.
Yes, talking about like this feels uncomfortable.
You couldn't be genuine and I really tried to get some genuine stuff from Kevin because I didn't want them to get mad and it was a good trip and Kevin like wasn't participating. The only thing they included that I got was you being like, well, catch me outside. How about that?
While
and that's the only thing
Vegas
I could send. And they included
window.
It. They included that.
Good.
So you can watch this nightmare video on the Facebook
Yeah, do
page
it. Do it.
Maisel.
They didn't include any of my sound bites, which makes perfect sense because I could see the camera crew getting like annoyed with me when I was talking.
That's
oh,
not
that's
true.
Awesome.
It was
well,
pretty
really
rough
when a camera crew gets annoyed with me. I think that's my Midge.
Well, they asked me where I would go if I could time travel back to the 60s. Mm.
Which is a fun question if
going
you're
through
me.
My head was
I think France.
Nowhere. Well, I didn't want to
France
I think
1944.
I think they said America.
Anyway, I mean the people we interacted with from the social team and the people running it were very kind and very sweet. So I hope
so
we don't
lovely.
Sound ungrateful, but it was just like the paradox of being alive in 2020 now in the world we're living in,
yeah.
which is like we made this, we're also complicit in it, we're also just a part of it, whether we want to or not. And people would have gone on the trip whether we did or not. It was just hard not to have
tragedy
like accidental. What's that?
It's called, yeah, Tragedy of the Commons. If we didn't go, someone else would have gone. So
that's
what difference
right.
does it make?
Right,
yeah.
right.
So that being said, that was the energy I had before even watching Marvelous Mrs. Maisel season, because it was like 2 or 3 days. No, it was the day before it came out, because I think it premiered December 6th. This was a trip on December 5th. I think it was like a Thursday night. So it's tough for anybody to make it, I think.
I mean, regarding this episode, I thought that's a perfect energy to have coming into it.
Yeah.
I think. Right? Well, just weird it out.
Let's talk about it. Let's do it by kicking off with a little segment we call
12 o'clock, rock, we're gonna pop around the culture
tonight. Pop around the culture tonight. Of course, this
culture.
Is our...
I'll never stop loving that.
Our famous segment where out of tradition and out of respect
alone.
Of where we came
nope,
from.
Just tradition. Yep.
We put all the pop culture references together in a supercut.
Wow.
This is the episode, by the way. It's called Strike Up the Band, written and directed by... ASP.
Bob Hope played here.
Che Guevara.
Milton Berle. Been here twice.
Annette Funicello.
No.
Give me three.
Barbara Stanwyck.
Nope.
Ava Gardner.
George Burns made $10 a week before.
Hey, don't go all Gershwin on me.
Gandhi went to jail.
You know Jane Mansfield?
Family Circle or Harper's Bazaar.
Galileo died under house arrest. Emma Goldman was deported. Jack Kerouac. On the road of.
The last time I had to track someone down was to tell Desi Arnaz he gave me the clap.
I'm sorry. About this and the clap.
The clap was worth it.
That's my favorite lines in the episode.
That was the best line.
The Amazon Prime synopsis is Mitch performs at a USO show ahead of touring with Shy, while Susie learns the ins and outs of contract negotiation. Abe and Rose grapple with their new financial situation. Joel finds the perfect spot for his new club, and so he discovers the space isn't as it appears.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of money. That's my first thought. A lot of money.
It's almost like with like... The ratio of money to how bad it was is like not quite Cats. Not quite Cats.
It's not Cats. Come on. It's Cats is like
this
transcendently...
was one of the worst episodes of this series.
I think so.
Yeah.
Okay. I would agree with that. Yeah. But yeah. I don't think it's Cats.
Okay.
Gracious.
I'm saying it's not Cats. But that you know the ratio. I said
and
the ratio is different.
A lot of the money went towards stuff that was really unnecessary.
Really unnecessary, yeah.
I mean, those USO shots, they said it was the most extras ever involved in a television shoot, I think. For that, there was a big, gorgeous like, flex shot, the 3-minute long tracking where it starts in the car, it goes through her on stage, and it just lasts forever, that opening shot when you first see
it. I love ASP. I love the fact that she's doing a show. I'll say this many times. Women do not get to be Michael Bay's and throw money at shit for no reason and then succeed. So, like, I love it, but... Amy, be careful, because you're getting a little lazy here. This is a little bit, that was just like, okay. I just thought that was, like, this whole USO tour part, every aspect of it was the dumbest,
oh my God,
except for the White Christmas thing.
What if that was a response to all the people saying, like, oh, the show is so fluffy, and mm-hmm. there's not a lot of substance here? She was like, yeah, it is.
Fuck
take this.
You.
And, like, just the whole beginning of the show was like, bam, bam, fireworks
it
and
was,
Lampner.
So there are, and the good things in the USO scene stood out to me because I hated that scene so much. But my favorite parts about the USO tour scene, I like the White Christmas thing where she wasn't singing the lyrics.
Although in a previous episode, she talks about watching White Christmas.
Yeah, so it's fucking,
And also like, Jewish people wrote a lot of the best Christmas songs
true.
Too. So
didn't
her
they
sing,
write that one? Didn't a Jewish
White Christmas?
Person? Yeah.
Probably, man.
That's going to be a Google.
I mean,
so the...
Who doesn't know White Christmas?
Me. I'm Jewish. I mean, we celebrate White Christmas.
That's such a weird Russian. I'd be curious. As a Jewish person,
it
you know White
weird.
Christmas.
I do know White Christmas. And my mom is a Jewish person who grew up in Brooklyn.
We should try to find out if that was an argument in the room or if people just let it go when they were in the script because there was so much other stuff to deal with.
I'm going
to
venture a guess, Alice, that there are no arguments in the room.
Right.
Good. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Okay.
So I did like but I liked her pretending to say, I thought that was funny looking.
Mm-hmm.
And then I actually liked how disrespectful Midge was to the troops.
Sure.
Because I saw that as like an Amy proxy. Like the rebel in me, the punk rock person in me kind of wants to be like, fuck the troops, fuck the army, fuck all that shit. Like nobody, this disingenuous support our troops mentality that we've all been living in since 9/11 is so egregious and shitty that like to see somebody on camera that's like the hero of the show be like, I don't give a shit about any of this. It was like kind of fun, I thought.
I know, it's just such a strange...
Like, and Amy doesn't care, and I love that.
But it's such a monument to the beauty of those USO shows and, like, the lavish production design and stuff. But then to have it be like, well, this is fine, I get. Yeah, because it wasn't, like, outright aggressive or rebellious in the joke she
and
was
making. Those USO shows, you know, the White Christmases, like those shows, it's not like the scripts were flawless and there was like always great stuff going on. They're just pretty. And so this was just pretty as well. I guess I'm defending it now more than I thought I would, but whatever.
So you're saying you support the troops in this upcoming war in Iran, right?
I support...
God.
Look, if Susie's enlisting... If Susie's enlisting...
My goodness, that is a lot of khaki.
Really? They love her.
Mind-boggling.
Color for most skin tones. I know you're relieved. I just want you to know how much I admire you guys. I could never be brave enough to wear the same outfit every day. My brother toyed with joining the army. He loved the idea of serving his country, but then he snapped a rubber band in his eye, and that was the end of that. You guys have a lot of rules here, which I totally get. You need rules. Women learn rules from women's magazines. I can't make a move without consulting Family Circle or Harper's Bazaar. Otherwise, I'd have no idea what shade of red drives a man crazy. Little hint. It's the one with the least amount of fabric involved.
Oh, she does this turnaround on the stage.
She's like, look at my cape.
That was such an interesting shot to
me. It was an interesting move, interesting shot.
Because it's
she's
like
she's just killing it.
She's, I think, one of the recappers at either Vulture AV Club pointed this out. She's kind of the Roxane Gay definition of a bad feminist, where it's like she will play into certain modes of objectification in that sort of way and live in the paradox of.
I would be.
I don't think she's trying to be a feminist. I think she's just trying to be a successful comedian.
No,
I
think that's
like if she was trying to be a feminist, she would not be on that stage. Mm-hmm. She would not.
The thing is, like, to me, I was watching this, like, from the perspective of, like, what would I do if I had to go perform for the troops? Like, first of all, I'd bomb. And second of all,
I'd bomb.
That's why she wouldn't be on stage, because she'd bomb. I think she would want to. I think she'd want to have that success. But her, what she would have to say, they'd be like, that's not welcome here.
So I liked this scene where she did this, because I was like, I would probably do something like that. I'd be like, here's my tits. Please love me. Like, because it would be so terrifying.
Is that
the
top of your Amazon special?
No, that's my upcoming, but there's just like this, you know, this terror you feel already in front of an audience, but an audience of all men who are just surrounded, not only just men, but men who have been around only men, you know, which is what that is in the 50s, you know, for the last 6 months. That's terrifying. Sure. Mm-hmm. Legitimately, I don't feel safe in that situation. So I'd be like, look, I have boobs. Please don't kill me. Like, that's kind of where my head would be at. So I'd be so freaked out.
Yeah, I mean, it's part and parcel with like, oh, what if Lenny Bruce was like your fairy godmother of stand-up comedy? It's part and parcel with like the idea of, actually, it wasn't that bad, was it, guys?
Right.
The 60s were kind of fine and fun.
Right. But the other thing is, like, I wanted to point out with the laughter in this scene, it feels like the way that the laughter of the, I guess, do they record the background doing it or do they use canned laughter? Like, I don't, if they're going to have the laughter like run throughout, like, oh, she's really killing it, they should have it be like titters and people talking. They shouldn't have it be like boom laugh in the silence track. Because her actual stand-up isn't that so
well,
it's like,
U.S. Army bases are famously very polite.
Well, and, I did love, and this is part of the show, is that it's like, it can be very comforting to see this unrealistic portrayal of like her being so supported by all these men. Because I was like, yay, look at them support her, even though that's not realistic.
Yeah,
it wasn't that's so nice.
To me, it wasn't comforting. It was just like, this feels like I'm about to watch a horror movie. Like, I just, it was so fucked up. It was.
Just put, like, a dreadful synth drone underneath.
It's just like, this is, something is about to go terribly wrong right now. And nothing did. And I was like, oh, we're back on the fucking Maisel train.
Oh, and we kind of talked about this. Like, it kind of did get a little bit horrific with how much she's objectified after.
Oh, the skirt blowing up and that stuff?
Yeah. And
everything.
That became an issue in the press. I guess, like, you're just so used to being objectified as a woman in the 60s that you're like... You know, well, and that's kind of how Midge is.
Yeah, Midge and Susie are both, like, even when they're talking about, like, the money stuff and how much they're going to get paid, when it's like, they just kind of, like, they don't bristle too much about the fact that, oh, yeah, it's significantly less. But anyway, like, they're just kind of, like, in the moment of, like,
what,
well,
choice do you have?
We still got to get whatever bag there is.
Though
for
I,
people like
I
us.
Will say, like, when you are being paid less and you're aware you're being paid less, you, like, internalize that. Like, that's internalized misogyny, which, again, the show doesn't touch on, and how that would affect her psychology and how she sees herself, mm-hmm. which is where I think a lot of people brush up against the show. It's like, this isn't fair. But that's not the point of the show.
Yeah.
Can I talk about one performance I did like, even though it went on a little too long?
Please do. Mm. Oh, yes.
This song is good.
It slaps.
Yeah. Shy Baldwin.
I love
Shyronnie's
cousin. Music video in the middle of this episode.
I think so good.
It's an original song written for the show.
You can tell because it sounds like it's from the 70s.
Wait, really?
It doesn't sound like
70s?
It doesn't sound like a 60s.
Oh, I don't think so. I think it sounds like late 60s.
No, it sounds to me like a 1970s disco.
Really?
Like a little disco.
I think it sounds like doo-wop.
Yeah, it sounds like it's totally do.
But the melody is like.
I strongly disagree with this take.
When I think 70s,
you
and
I'm me.
And we love each other.
They're holding hands.
Kitty and King back at it again.
Kitty and King. So can I say something,
yes,
one
ma'am.
More thing really quick about this? Like, I think because I'm white, I don't see this scene the way that I saw the last scene. Like, the way that I saw the last scene and describing that, like, sense of unease and sense of, like, dread, watching this predominantly male, like, almost 90,000,000% male yeah. audience watch Midge and objectify her and treat her in whatever way they wanted to. Like, and then Shy comes up on stage, and it's a predominantly white crowd. And there are all these army guys. We know what army guys are. You know, like
super
a branch of the militarized white. Like that. And so him performing for them, and they're all singing along. They love him. And I'm watching it going, like, that is heartwarming to watch, even though it's very, like, mm-hmm. it doesn't break with my reality or it doesn't track with my reality or knowledge of it. But I wonder if you would feel that way if you're watching it as a person of color or a black person. I don't know. I don't know. I think you might watch it going like, ah, what's going to happen? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's creepy.
Mm-hmm.
It's creepy.
So, like,
so the erasure, I think, is creepy. Basically,
you guys know I
show.
Served, right?
Aww.
Oh, you were a server.
Okay?
Were you a server at Olive Garden?
I fought in the war on Christmas
in
my local Starbucks. Two tours for the Red Cup draft.
And thank you for your service.
Thank you. Thank you for thanking me. Yeah, with a lot of this extravagance and like kind of musical, like even the tap dance number that went on, or the can-can, whatever that chorus line
thing. It's still going on.
It's still, yeah, they're
still
shooting
it. If you turn on Amazon Prime,
they're
still shooting it.
I do want to get into her head of like, what is it that you want to do here? Because you understand story decisions on other shows. Or like, oh, that was a little indulgent. They held on that shot a little long. But especially, I've watched... I'm not going to week this time around. I've watched the first 5 episodes of this season. And I will say, I think the first 2 episodes of the season thus far are the weakest.
Oh, good.
That
makes me so happy.
Yeah. It really picks up steam when they actually get on tour and on the road and in Vegas and other places. Like, that's where it really
well, they
starts
set up,
tracking.
I've only seen this episode, and they set up so much, but it's all set up, and there's so much conflict and, like, fighting and...
There's a lot of fighting
pain and et cetera, but it's all set up. It's not like payoff.
You've seen the first 5 episodes?
No, just the first one.
And I'm only seeing setup.
Hey.
And I'm only going to watch the first 2. I'm going to do the rest of the show, but I'm not going to watch anyone.
You refuse?
That's what's crazy.
You refuse?
I don't like that I'm doing this.
We talked about the idea of doing 2 episodes per episode of the podcast.
And I kiboshed it, you guys,
said,
so you're fucking welcome.
No.
Yeah. I said, no.
No, thank you. You sent back a mean bit emoji.
I said, no, thank you.
Like a cute little kitten. This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. Now, unlike anything I've ever talked about on the air, I actually stand by Squarespace. I actually do because I've used it for everything I've made. Literally, GilmoreGuysShow.com, the very website for this very podcast, was made using Squarespace. How beautiful is that? KevinTPorter.com, I made that using Squarespace. My old bake shop website, that was made using Squarespace. Because you can do it all with Squarespace. You can sell content on your website. So exclusive stuff behind a paywall. You can sell memberships, courses, or sell files your customers can download, like PDFs, music, or ebooks. You can do that with Squarespace. You can do analytics with Squarespace so you can figure out who's visiting your website and why, and figure out how to get traffic and where's it coming from. You can also have people do flexible payments on Squarespace. Make checkout seamless for your customers with simple but powerful payment tools. Accepts credit cards, PayPal, Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer customers the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. How nice is that? You can also do email campaigns, so there's constant outreach for your stuff and people know where to find you. So I'm going to let you know where to find Squarespace. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/GilmoreGuys to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain. That's squarespace.com/GilmoreGuys. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now let's talk about your social battery. Maybe right now it's bursting at the seams with energy. Maybe it's a little drained. Maybe you're one of those people like my friend with their phone battery that keeps it 2% all the time, even when they stay home all day. And they definitely could charge up if they wanted to, but they don't. Well, regardless of where it is, it's important to understand why it is the way it is. Why is the battery low when it gets low? Is it because you're feeling less social? Is it because you're feeling sad? Is it because of emotions you've yet to identify? Or maybe just boundaries you haven't set for yourself yet? Either way, it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you? How do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, maybe you don't. Maybe you need a little more alone time. Well, either way, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. This is so important because I've been in therapy for 10 plus years, for some would say, technically, 11 years this month, and it's helped me so much understand where I get my energy from, how I use my energy, how to better use my energy, and how to maintain things in a way that's sustainable and healthy and good. And that's to do, of course, with boundaries, but also just understanding who I am and what I want. And I couldn't have done so much of that work without therapy. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/GilmoreGuys today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/GilmoreGuys. We can talk about the kind of relationship. Weirdly, I feel like where I was more compelled by the parental relationships in the previous seasons, now, and especially at least in the first half of this one,
say it.
I'm like, whatever on that. Yeah, but then the friendship and the kind of complicated, nuanced emotions occurring between Midge and Joel are more interesting, I think, to explore and interrogate.
Okay.
You said one night, and I heard you.
I just thought you'd follow up. Something happens, you follow up. A guy comes to fix your dishwasher, he calls later to follow up.
No, he doesn't.
Yes, he does.
Midge, no dishwasher repairman in the world calls later to follow up.
Well, when our dishwasher broke, the guy called later to follow up, and I appreciated it.
If he did call to follow up, it wasn't on the state of the dishwasher.
Oh, so now I fucked the dishwasher repairman? Is that what you're implying?
No. I'm saying that a dishwasher repairman doesn't give a shit about your dishwasher the minute he leaves the house.
Oh, so that's it. You don't care about my dishwasher anymore? If it works or doesn't work, it means nothing to you at all.
I am not a dishwasher repairman, Midge. If you know anything about me, it's that I cannot repair a fucking dishwasher.
I know you can't repair a dishwasher. That wasn't what I was saying.
Well, what were you saying?
I don't know. I've totally lost the thread of this conversation.
You made it very, very clear. One night only. I was not supposed to think it was anything more than it was, so I didn't. I took you at your word.
The people in his office are like,
I did what you asked me to do.
You okay, bud?
I just thought you'd call.
Did you want me to call?
Did you change your mind?
And then she says,
I'm not mad.
Have you guys had conversations like this before?
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah. I thought this was super cute. Every Sunday night with my dad.
With your dad? You guys make dishwashers a metaphor for your father?
Maybe you and your dad want to be friends, but it's just not going to happen.
You just keep exactly smashing. You don't mean to.
Yo, I smashed that dad button.
Smash that dad button. So, rate and subscribe.
So I am so glad to hear you say what you're saying, because I love, you know, I've been team Joel for a long time.
Well, if not before, now more than ever after
Are you team Joel?
Right?
What do you mean by that? I've been team Joel for a long time, and I am swimming in this.
But you, wait, do you want to say that you did have an
encounter.
Fucked
him.
No, you did not. Come on. No. The actor Michael Zegan, you had a nice interaction with.
The actor Michael Zegan was backstage at the show. Actor Michael Zegan was backstage. And I walk backstage and I, you know, so in ASCAT, they do two back-to-back shows. So they'll have, sometimes you get to see the monologists from the other show.
It's in New York.
And I was in New York doing the second show and I walk in and Michael Zegan's there. And, you know, I was getting introduced to all the players that were going to be on the show, and somebody introduced me to Michael. Hi, Michael, whatever. And I'm like, yeah, you know, you're a fucking Joel. But I played it cool. And then I said, and then I said hello to him, and I told him that I did this podcast, and he had said he'd heard of it. And then he was like, and I was like, yeah, you should be on it. You know, we'd love to talk to you. And he's like, I heard about it, and like, I heard one episode, and like, this guy is so mean to me. And I'm like, what guy is mean to you? And I'm like, could it be Kevin or one of the guests or whatever? And I'm like, because I was on every episode, and I'm like,
no, you
I'm
weren't.
Always there defending you.
No, you weren't.
But then I realized I wasn't on every episode. There was one episode that I was not present for, and there was a guy on it who was very mean.
There was a season one wrap. I don't think he was that mean to Joel. But there was a season one wrap up with.
And it wasn't Joel, it was Michael Zegan. It wasn't like, he wasn't mean to Joel.
I was about to say, like, yeah, is he talking about the character or the actor?
He was talking about the actor. And it was fucking.
Oh. It was Mr. Jason Mendoza.
Fucking
Mendoza. And
I was like, you can't listen to Jason Mendoza.
I thought he was very charitable. I mean, he's
for Jason Mendoza, he probably was charitable. So anyway, that's the one episode for some reason that. Michael Zegan listened to.
Sometimes hosting this podcast feels like a mother. I feel like a mother mediating conflict at
really
Thanksgiving
are.
Where I'm like, hey, like I know we all have different worldviews and perspectives, but I think we can gather around the podcast table. And
that means that I think means that if you go on iTunes and you look up this podcast, even though I've done every episode besides that one, that fucking episode is the top.
It might be from that season just because
off.
He was... Yeah, I'm sorry.
That piss is so
it wasn't
shitty.
Intentional.
It's not your fault.
I
but
know.
I need you to here.
Hey.
Okay.
Kitty
I'm holding
and
this is the third time.
Back again. I love it. I love
King
feeling connected
King
to my
Kitty.
Co-host. It's an intimate bond.
I can see that.
I'm still working on it. We can maybe get him back on the show. But I will say this, I'm very attracted to Joel Mazel. I think Joel Mazel's a hot snack.
I think I finally got it last season.
But could he be in a relationship with someone like Mitch? Who's
that's my whole thing has always been to say, Midge, like, for the amount that Joel, as a character, has his faults, you know, and Joel sucks in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
Midge sucks so much.
True.
Midge is a nightmare. So mm-hmm. I feel that they're equally balanced. They're well matched in a lot of ways for each other. They're both super, super stubborn. And this whole turn where Joel is suddenly, like, the most supportive man on Earth, where I think he was coming to for a long time, like matured as a person, I guess.
Because
like,
he does say in the conversation, did you kill?
Yeah,
did you crush
like,
it? Like he wants to
he's
know.
He's the greatest.
Yeah. I mean, they still love each other mm-hmm. very much. How could they not? I think that makes so
and I'm
much
like
sense.
Right in there in a sandwich and I just love it.
They are the living embodiment of that Katy Perry song.
I don't
song.
Think
it's
they should
really
be together though.
No.
No? Well, no, because then the show's over.
Oh, I mean, he could... be like, okay, you know what? Okay, this is my friend always uses this metaphor where there's like, there's a flower and there's a gardener in a relationship. And she got it from I, Tonya, from the abusive mother. So it's not great.
Oh,
but she's like, in a relationship, there needs to be the person who takes care and the person who like is the one that needs to be taken care of. I know it's binary and it's bad. But in this show, which is on binaries, like not very nuanced at all, like one of them would need to like be like, okay, I'm going to take care of you so you can pursue your things. Because they're both such characters with their own stuff going on.
Yeah. True.
And I don't know if they can be, like, great partners. One of them would just have to accept that they have to be the partner.
But this was the first season.
But he's moving towards being, like...
a good man?
An owner of a venue. Like, he's moving towards being the man behind the scenes. And if he's being the man behind the scenes already in his own life, like, has his true passion to be a creator of the platform, to be, you know what I mean, as opposed to the person on the platform, it feels like a good match to me.
Is he willing, though, to, like, let her talk about him in her act and be, like,
I think he is.
Gross
I think he's ready. I think he's ready, and he looks good, and he's no shirt on sometimes.
This is the first season.
And sometimes he doesn't have a shirt on.
In the first five episodes, I was like, because usually in the past, I'm like, why is Joel still on the show? But in this, I find they're... weird friendship to be essential to like some of the storytelling.
He's a real humanizing grounding element to Midge that is super necessary. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that is great. And it's fun. And for me, that's a gender reversal too. Like to have a guy who's like the guy on the show who's like playing the person that grounds the hero.
Yeah. The Seth Rogen to her Charlize Theron, if you will.
If you will. And I will.
Mm-hmm.
And I often do.
You adored that movie.
I adored it.
The Long Shot.
The Long Shot is the one we're talking about, both of us.
It is.
Yep.
Yes, I know.
Touch again. Touch again.
They're holding hands.
You talked about how much it made you cry.
I hope that when we walk down the street sometime and hold hands, that we Tess's voice, like Mufasa, they're holding hands.
Well, I adore it, so I hope so, too.
Just let me know.
Let's talk about...
Joel some more. I do think the actor's really hot.
No, we also have to touch on Getting Misgendered is Fun. Getting Misgendered is Fun. The Susie Meyerson story. Getting Misgendered is fun and funny, and we should always laugh at it always.
Do people,
because it's always funny.
Yeah, I've never thought about it in the context of like getting misgendered or dead named, but I guess there is.
God,
some...
it is endless. Yeah. It is endless.
You want to be a bugle boy, little dude?
And the craziest thing about it is that like they think they're heightening it, but they're not heightening it.
Yeah, they're just continuing.
Are
there people, though, that are laughing at that? Like, parents or something like who's
yeah that's true there are I'm
I
sure
mean like that doesn't make it like
I think because what's her name, the actress again,
Alex Borstein
is a great
Burstein
because Alex Borstein does not phone it in. Alex Borstein is doing her level best to make that scene okay for everybody involved, including I think non-binary people. I think Alex Borstein has an eye on the like real world, and she's like, okay, I gotta,
she's low-key the heart of the show. I feel about her the same way you feel about not to be another basic film bro again, but like the way you felt about Jesse at the end of Breaking Bad, where it's like, you're it. You are the conscience, you are the pulse, you are the drive, and that's where.
And I love that about Jesse in particular, because he was not supposed to be on the all seasons of that show.
Exactly. I think so Susie is a little bit more, but man, just the contrast of it. And you do wonder about, like, you know, there'd be those episodes of like Leftovers or other show, or like Lost, where you just focus on one character and you just kind of follow them and your empathy is with them the whole time. You kind of wish you would do that, where like maybe Midge is in like three scenes, but then you see what Susie actually has to deal with on like a day-to-day basis.
And every time we do have to see what Susie's deal with, you're like, well, now I'm watching a show I like.
Let's talk about, we have a limited amount of time, but let's talk about Abe and Miriam.
You really think we live like this on your salary? You really think that Miriam has all those fabulous clothes because you were a professor at Columbia? The vacations, the dinners, the cocktail parties.
Miriam.
You think all that exists because you taught 8 hyper-intelligent, emotionally retarded eunuchs to dress them...
By the way, first of 2 uses of the R word in this season. Anyway.
Chalkboard.
I think you're oversimplifying my classes.
Do you know one other professor who lives the way we do?
I like that it finally was like, this is weird, right?
Like, I just thought they were rich.
How are we in this apartment?
And I was like, yeah. What?
I mean, it's a trust fund thing. And so they're kind of like starting to get into, if you play the reality circumstances of the economic situation, that is interesting.
I thought they handled it in a garbage way. I actually thought they brought it up in a garbage way. Like, why has it been a secret the whole time? You know, and to me, it's like, plainly, it's been a secret because it wasn't part of the plot, and they had to figure out a way for them to have been so rich. Somebody was like, it's crazy that they're rich on the, they have this apartment and all these clothes. It's crazy. And then somebody came along and said that it was crazy. They're like, oh yeah, it is crazy. Let's make something up. And it felt that way from the scene, the way they revealed it. Mm. Like, maybe if it was, I don't know.
I thought they were like, we need to think of an obstacle to throw their way. Oh, I know. They're poor now.
Yeah.
How do we MacGyver them to not have money?
And
they were like, trust fund.
I'm all the way out on all the Rose Abe stuff.
Me too.
This season, unfortunately.
It's terrible.
I do
also, to me, it's like, we saw this incredible arc that we went to Europe for, about how Rose was unfulfilled in her life and needed to examine her position. And now that went away. What that did is it disappeared. It disappeared from the human being that is Rose. It disappeared from the show. It's gone. And now we have a person who doesn't know who Jack Kerouac is.
I think there's little traces of it.
Do you remember
still.
The artist that was smoking in Paris who doesn't know who Jack Kerouac is? Like, can we agree on who this person is? Can someone agree in the writer's room?
Maybe she's just like reverting to a place of like panic and like being bougie because she's about to lose everything, and she's like, I can't afford to be that person right
and
now.
And when you do get, when you do get into a certain amount of financial fear, you forget who Jack Kerouac is.
Yeah,
it's true. It happened in the red states. That's why Trump got elected. Because all the economic anxiety, people became racist and forgot who Jack Kerouac is. Oh. It's true.
No.
It's proven. No.
Hold hands,
no,
you guys.
No. They're holding hands.
What the hell is going on in there?
Where?
Behind you, in there.
Nothing. What's your name?
Forget my name. What is that? Who are those people?
Family gathering.
Really?
Yep.
Your family?
She's cool. Yep.
All of them?
Yep.
The guy serving drinks?
My cousin.
He was wearing a name tag.
I have a lot of cousins.
Those people in there are gambling.
What? No.
Love it.
May rocks. Stephanie Sue is the name of the actress. Joel buys this place to make into a club, nightclub for music and stuff. And at first, obviously, because of Palladino's history with race stuff or just like sensitivity, and especially when it comes to a 1960s.
Yeah, you're cowering
Chinatown.
In the corner.
It is like, it does feel like a bomb's about to go off the whole time.
You take a Xanax. You're like, okay, well, I'm got to be ready for something.
Yeah. But I mean, yeah. So far, so good. From the jump, I was like, this lady, she's interesting, she's strange, she's attractive. The most interesting thing about her is not her ethnicity.
Where in New York did Amy grow up?
Maybe Queens. I mean, she grew up in the Valley, though. She grew out here, in the San Fernando Valley. Yeah, she moved out to New York for her adulthood. Mm. She's been there in most of her adult life, but she was like a San Fernando kid.
So interesting. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, I didn't have a.
I was curious. I mean, like, so if you're gonna make the show more diverse, like, is it coming from a diverse writers' room? I was just curious.
Absolutely not is the answer. But
I don't know. I don't know what the.
What's that?
I didn't know.
No, it's
so it's a bunch of white people.
This is a two-man operation, and they get like a little help with breaking stuff, but it's just them. And there is, I will say, if you guys want to know more about, if the listeners, you want to know more about the process, Jesse David Fox on the Good One podcast did an interview with them, specifically focusing on Midge's Catskills set from last season, in season two.
Cool.
And he asked, it was the first long-form interview I'd heard with them that was good, where the interviewer was just not completely out of their depth. Fox is like a really well-researched, really well-prepared guy. And he was asking them super interesting stuff. And when they write stuff, it's not like you take the nouns, I'll take the verbs. It's like we go off in our rooms and then do it.
Right.
And then we like come in if we have an issue.
Yeah.
We come into the writer's room if we have an issue breaking something. But it's just them.
Yeah.
Like it's not. Okay. Yeah. It's not a lot of support. But everyone can check that out on the Good One podcast. But May so far, I was really, you know, and it is like a lot of broad, almost Family Guy-esque stuff when he goes down to the gambling thing and everyone stops on a dime. And and you are just afraid that they're going to otherize it into this like strange place. Like, aren't Chinese people weird or something? But then her as an access point, May as an access point is like a really interesting.
Because it immediately contextualizes it. Like these are just New Yorkers. These are a subsect of like a community in New York that is doing an illegal thing, that this is one of the things that they do. It's not like, you know what I mean? It's not like Chinese people are weird. It's like, no, people do illegal things and these people happen to be Chinese doing an illegal thing.
So weirdly,
like this is the narrative of Chinese people.
Exactly, yeah.
First episode in, I'm like, oh, I like Archie. I like Joel's friend. I like this May character. I think a lot of this stuff is funny.
Do I like the Joel storyline the most
in this first episode? Because
I like Susie's the most.
I mean, it is so, I try to have compassion about this, especially even thinking about like the way we talked about some stuff on Gilmore, where we're like, well, Jess shouldn't have done that. And I think one of our guests at one point did say, well, they are children that you're talking about. These are like 16, 17-year-old kids. And you're coming to it as like a 20, 30-something person. So it's easy to say. So I guess if you think about like Midge's upbringing stuff, you can have compassion for that a little bit. But the childlike way, the childish way, I should say, that she treats any modicum of ambition on Susie's part is very disappointing.
I'm not mad.
Yeah.
I am too angry to be rude.
That doesn't make sense.
Sophie Lennon is my sworn enemy.
Hey, maybe don't say sworn enemy in a room full of soldiers.
Susie! I didn't go looking for this, okay? She summoned me to her house, and I only went because of you.
Me?
Yes! I wanted to try to smooth shit over so she'd stop messing with you, and the next thing I knew, she's talking to me about how I defended you, how I fought for you, and she wants me to do that for her. That psychotic giraffe of a woman has been trying to destroy me for a year.
I know, I was there.
She's a nightmare, a monster, a hack. She hates me.
Hey, Sophie is a big star. You understand? This is business. You want me to turn down a giant opportunity?
Yes.
Okay, then what was all that Susie Meyerson and Associates bullshit, huh? That was your idea. I mean, if you are my only client, then what are all these other associates going to be doing? Helping you pick out your hats? If I am going to do this, then I have to do this.
And what am I supposed to do? Just forget the fact that she had me blackballed from every club in town?
If I'm her manager, I'm sure that will stop.
Are you kidding me?
Look, my apartment is $40 a month, and I have to sublet it to Jackie. To Jackie. A man that will definitely sit bare-assed on my one leather chair. There's no choice there. I can't afford not to. When you make $4,000, I make $400. And in case you're wondering, that's less.
Fuck you.
This changes nothing.
Wow.
You are still every...
What a response to...
That line.
This is my economic reality.
Yeah, that's crazy. Like, when you know when you're walking down the street and you're on a date, and you're trying to have a nice time, and somebody's like, a little help, you know? That pisses me off so much. And I turn to that person and I say, fuck you. I'm on a date. That's just so crazy.
That's the attitude of that.
That is the...
Man,
exact
and you usually you do see it from both sides, but it's just so plain.
It's like
the
okay. So I kind of see where she's coming from.
No, no,
not, I completely see where she's coming from. But yeah, so Joel doesn't want to support her unless they're in a romantic relationship, and that's not going to happen. So he's gone. Her parents were just like attacking her.
Yeah, you're
like,
a whore.
Being like, you're horrible.
You're
yeah,
a whore.
You're horrible, and you quit everything, and you're frivolous, and we failed, and you're bad. And the one person who's like supported her this whole show is teaming up with her enemy, and it's justified. Like, why wouldn't she? But yep. I don't think she can.
No,
see
I
that.
Completely agree because, as again, somebody who has had a target on their back before and been like literally victimized by people in
by
Hollywood.
Michael Ziegen because of this
by
podcast.
Michael Ziegen who has yeah. now made it his mission, I guess. Yeah. No, I've been, you know, like people like Kumail, like people have been. Yeah, you can cut that out or leave it in because I'm pretty much done pretending it didn't happen. But, like, it sucks to imagine somebody that I work with, even on a casual level who represents me, like, working with someone else. You know, and I've cut ties with people because I'm like, I can't be managed by you or I can't be cut. I can't be in the same team with somebody who represents this person because they're – you know, on you know what they represent and who they are in this industry. But like, yeah, somebody who is my Susie, if I because they don't have a real normal working relationship. They have a friendship. Midge is always trying to get close to her. Like they have something extremely close knit. And then Midge has one enemy, a person who literally made it her entire life's mission to ruin Midge's career. And I know what that kind of like. I know I have a taste of what that feels like. And then to go and. I would be in therapy
it,
like, over yeah, something like that.
It
would be
her
fucking
to her
insane.
Economic reality.
Yeah, it would be. I'd be like, look, I will give you, you know, and this is what's crazy is like, I feel like Midge should be like, no, I'll pay you whatever she'll pay her because like Midge has the money. So Midge should just be like, let's get you a bigger cut.
I don't know if Midge does have the money yet.
She's getting the money from this thing. Be like, okay, let's get you a bigger cut. Let's get you a bigger cut. I whatever it takes.
But having gone through some experience with that, you understand.
I would say whatever it takes.
Threat. Yeah.
Like, let's not have this because that would be super scary for me.
Yeah. Instead of immediately being like, fuck you, and walking
but that
away.
Was...
Also, she's being thrown around by a bunch of soldiers the whole time.
Yeah, terrified. I am scared right now.
Yeah, that was a horror movie where
let's
she's just
dance.
Like...
I was watching that and like, felt so uncomfortable.
Being
just being tossed around like a doll.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
fun with... But I guess, you know, being a woman.
Being a woman. It's like, in, you know, she's a little light.
Can I just...
I'm gonna, she's got to get in shape for this tour.
In an empathetic way.
Was the exercise yes, scene in this?
Or the exercise scene is in the next episode.
Cut
we
that
can
out.
Talk about that then. Let's do some Twitter Q&A real quick.
Tweet, tweet.
Wow. So glad.
Kaylas, do you know all the words to White Christmas? Or
no,
Blue Christmas?
I
know all but one. Just kidding. I think I know them all.
I know every other
I'm
word.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas.
I'm
That's all I really know, I guess.
Of
Christmas. Just
with
once.
Christmas.
No.
Right.
Mia asks, what would you do if, like Midge, you lived in a world of no consequences? I would.
Oh, I'd be a beatnik.
I would park wherever I wanted to.
I would change my parking strategy.
I'd do drugs too.
Dave asks,
I would do drugs. Yeah.
How surprised were you that Midge sleeping with Joel didn't end in a punishment pregnancy under the ASP framework? Which I think is really funny. It is like an interesting thing of like, oh, maybe these adults just like smash and they don't have to have a kid. That's like a different thing in the sort of like low-key puritanical sexual politics of the ASP universe.
That's true. It always leads to a baby.
Zoe asks, do you think just writing...
I wonder if she's a virgin. Okay, go on.
If Midge is a virgin?
No, ASP.
Oh my God.
she doesn't have kids.
Like she's like, that's why she's like, doesn't know that sex doesn't always lead to a kid. She's like, because we've never had sex, because if we did, we'd have a baby, right? And nobody's bothered to be like, no.
I think the bigger question here is, does the top hat stay on or off?
Oh my God.
On,
and if it stays on, where does it stay?
Stupid. So, do you think just writing off Benjamin, somehow avoiding pregnancy and sort of avoiding residual feelings for Joel, takes away from the possibly interesting and complicated consequences for Midge? No, with the Benjamin stuff, it's like, we knew that was a Dr. Medea's nuts.
We knew that it was Max Medea's nuts.
Get out of here, Shazam.
He Shazammed away as he
flew away like a little superhero.
Yeah,
he was fun though.
Poop Doctor, our old friend Poop Doctor. Says, do you think Midge needs other venues for emotional fulfillment or support? It seems to me like her relationship with Susie is too intimate to be conducive to their respective careers.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, completely.
Yeah.
This is not working.
Double down on Imogen. Make her your pal. More so than like, I feel like when I work with people in a close way, even you, like, or with people.
Yeah, tension.
Sexually?
Yeah.
All the time.
They're holding hands.
Uh-huh. Yeah. All the time.
Yeah.
I turn into like a sexually tense Mickey Mouse. Oh, I don't know where this is going.
All the time. I'm horny though.
That's completely true. I mean, but
she needs a comedy buddy or something.
You do the people in your life you love a great favor when you ameliorate the pressure that loving them in an intense way can happen when you do that with other people.
Disagree.
Really?
Just kidding.
Okay. Jordana says, what's your weird ask on a tour?
I did think about that.
Cool.
Yeah.
We used to do a box of Pop-Tarts when we toured with Gilmore.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't that weird though. That was practical and like, we're going to throw these out into the crowd.
Well, there's like different levels of weird asks. If there's a weird ask to see if people are paying attention, like the Van Halen or the Guns N' Roses
which thing. I think this is a reference to an event that didn't happen in history yet. Van Halen famously asked for only brown M&Ms.
It was Guns N' Roses, I think.
I think it was Van Halen.
Van Halen. Yeah. I love Van Halen so much. Jump. And so if it's something like that, it would probably be like, yeah, LaCroix, but only the coconut kind.
That was my thought too. Was like a specific flavor.
Well,
because
whatever.
I was thinking like I might have LA specific things that I would just genuinely like. I'd be like, can I please have like kombucha or something?
I always ask.
Like,
that's so weird.
I always ask like, do you have a juice place near you? Because when you're on the road, you don't get enough vegetables, and a juice can help a lot. And so I like a green juice, but like sometimes people don't have that near them, so I don't want to be like it has to be there. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to ruin any PA's life. So it'd be like something like that. But if it was like if I was like a superstar, I would have a shower.
A shower?
Yeah, always a shower. And if they have to install a sunlight shower,
oh
if
my
it's out
God.
In the woods, I would do that. That would be my number one ask. And I would use the shower.
All right. Well, what a great first.
somebody's gonna take.
I love showers.
I love all kinds of showers. Is a great soundbite for me.
That's good.
What a great first episode of season 3.
Thanks
really
for having
good.
Me,
marvelous
you guys.
Mrs. Maisel
so
Boy.
Fun.
What a fun
I'm
time.
So glad that you were here and you weren't, you know, your edgelord self.
No way. Oh not God. Not now. Not
now.
In this room.
Yeah, you've been really respectful.
On my own thing.
Tess, I'm so glad that the excess of the marketing budget of Amazon led to us bonding further as friends.
I'm glad it didn't ruin
me
you.
Too.
Now that you're
it made
used
me
to that
better.
Low key, you never know who's going to be like a great travel buddy until you're actually doing it with them. And I suspected you were. And I was more than right about it. And I'm so happy about it.
Feels so good to be right.
Hey, where can people find you on Twitter?
On Twitter and Instagram, I'm at Tess Please. So
at
see
Tess,
you
please.
There.
Hey. At Alice Waterland, listen to Treks in the City.
Do listen. Watch Resident Alien when it comes out in the summer. But I don't think you need to look far away from your Amazon Prime window to go to find my special. My Mama is a Human and
so
am
I.
Which, okay.
I've seen it. I'm a fan of the special.
I'm excited to watch it.
On Amazon right now. And I'd love for you guys to watch it. Just play it in the background if you've already seen it. That'd be helpful to me.
Honestly, giddy up.
Giddy right up.
Mm-hmm. You can follow me at Kevin T. Porter and listen to Gilmore Guys and other stuff. And go see Cats in theaters now.
Oh my God, I cannot wait.
Go see Little Women. Actually, go see Little Women. Don't go see Cats.
I thought of Little Women a lot during this episode.
I want to see
Little Women. Really? Why?
Yes. Because I was thinking about how Susie doesn't have like a love interest or anything. Now people are like, give her someone to love. And I'm like, it's kind of cool she doesn't.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I'm interested in your take on that as a queer person because... Mm-hmm. People do want that so much for her. But then there is another read where it's like, oh, maybe she's more of a Joan March or Greta Gerwig's rendition of Joan March.
What if she doesn't have a love interest? Because it is so compelling to people, I think. I want her to have a love interest, but like, I don't want her to settle on a love interest because then I have to watch that one love interest and then I'm going to have problems with it. So how about that's what fanfic is for?
Okay.
That's what fanfic is for. I don't know that this show is for that and that they could do it in a way that isn't queerbaity and they're just kind of respecting their lane that they've created by not being like, let's just shove in this love like the networks want and these specific fans want, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Like there are other shows for that, I think.
I know. It's season three of I don't know how to talk about the Susie queer conversation anymore. I don't know how to do it anymore.
Just let Susie get money.
Just let her get the bag.
I want to see her be successful. She's being such a cool manager, mm-hmm. and I love it.
Yeah, she is.
Let's go out on this episode. I actually don't have it, so we'll drop it in later. But let's go out with the wrap from our live show last year that I did for season two.
Perfect.
Because we never put that episode out because there was so much stand-up that none of us wanted to actually burn. And so the non-stand-up stuff was like 15 minutes long. I'm like, well, that's not an episode. But we did a rap that I was really proud of, so we can put that out now. Or I'm kind of proud of it. You can listen and be the
judge. It's actually flawless and amazing, and I cried when I saw it. It was so good.
It's very sweet. So we'll listen to that now. Thank you for listening. I'm Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, guys. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
For episode two. Goodbye.
See you next week.
And I love you. And I love you.
Tits up.
Tits up.
We're all holding hands.
Tits up.
Oh, well, I'm trying. We're doing it.
Friends, we are getting back in the time machine, going back to the East Village, back to 1959. Close your eyes. It's like you're almost there. And go back to a time in which a white man invents rap. Maisel Goes Live, shows the sublime, all for your pleasure on Amazon Prime. You didn't like it? You are pathetic, though parts of the show do feel anti-Semitic. Gilmore is dead, put it to bed. We shot it point blank right in the head. No Lorelai, no Rory, no Luke, but we just can't quit on IFA Babadook. Scripts are so witty, Amy won Emmys. Brosnahan got one for showing her titties. Borsten got one cause she's so fucking funny. Now Amy can choke me to death with her money. Murdered by Miss ASP, that's still the dream. When I see it, I still cream. Tonight we do Maisel Goes all just for do. Let's do a recap about season two. Rose goes to Paris, Abe is embarrassed. Marriage is shaky like Niles and Maris. They dance around for it, Salavi and Rose. Horny, it wants to get his D and Rose. Joel rejects Midge and both have a good cry. Abe finds out his kids are swimming in lies. Susie ain't gay yet and we don't know why. Esther and Ethan are going to die. Oi! Step into the gaslight. Oi! Oi! Is that offensive? Every said Mitch says she kills. Where is the thrill? Says bye to go to the Catskills. Leisure comes first, comedy last. Gotta get back to reliving her past. Gotta see Midge bomb a toast, doing the most. Maybe this lady is gross. Gotta get back to Joel's factory too. Remember that ASP fucking hates you? Enter one Dr. Shazam. Who gives a damn? He's just a nice Jewish man. Starts out intriguing and then kinda sucks. Guy's just a remake of Max with these nuts. Lenny's for real, he's the real deal. He's not a snack, he's a whole kosher meal. Lenny tells Midge that she'll be all alone. Who gives a shit? Let's just see them both bone. Susie and Midge hit the road, doing their show. Find out that tour life blows. Upper West Side princess falls from her throne. Daniel keeps writing jokes, making us groan. A watches Midge perform live, feeling surprised. Hell yeah, you know that I cried. Baldwin invites Midge on his tour dates. No more Jell-O molds, put that on your plate. Oi! Stepping in the gaslight, oi! Slightly offensive, oi! And the crowd goes Maisel Gorge. And the crowd goes Maisel Gorge. And the crowd goes Maisel Gorge. And the people say Maisel Gorge. Just the goys now. All the Jews now. Okay now.
Oh, suddenly people were like,
come on now.
It takes on new relevance because,
yeah.
I'm like, really? Because women have been getting a finger up their quad for like 20 years.
Oi, with the judels already, feeling so sweaty, show us so white, call it Betty. Tits up and bits up, you're in the guest light. Maisel Gorge live, thank you and good night.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.